Senator Dyson. Our business today is Senate Bill 150. We have a committee substitute, that being the F version. I can't explain the order of them, but the F version, I believe, is the one on which...
Would you like for me to move the F version?
I would indeed.
Mr. Chairman, I would move CS for Senate Bill 150, version F, dated 3/31/05.
Yeah, thank you, and I will object for discussion purposes. Maybe, Senator Green, you'd be able to explain a little bit what we've done here.
If I really understood it, I'd be happy to. We may need to get the commish to come up and join us as well. But, and I know you've probably all heard from the commissioner in the meantime talking about some concerns they have regarding the Children's Trust and how they're trying to streamline and yet keep investments very consistent and for them to have a life certain. And I believe this includes language that there's a four-year limit on the grant recipient continued service on for the grant. And the main thing that this includes, Mr. Chairman, on page 2, it is in line 4, that the applicant has included in the program or program project proposal a plan for sustainability and self-sufficiency for the grant period. I do want to ask if the commissioner or someone can speak to any method of reviewing whether or not they're keeping up with their sustainability, self-sufficiency, and the progress they're making on, or the quality of how they're using that grant funds. Is that a piece of what you oversee, or do you have a trust factor, or how do we do that?
Commissioner Gilbertson.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Joel Gilbertson. I'm commissioner of the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. And also, through my position as commissioner, I also serve as one of the trustees on the Alaska Children's Trust. And, Mr. Chairman, I believe the chair of the Alaska Children's Trust, Margo McCabe, is online. And I'll certainly invite her to speak probably for the trustees more so than myself, since she's our chair. Answering Senator Green's question through the chair, the CS that's before you right now really addresses a couple things, but the real two operative pieces are, one, changing it so that the Children's Trust grants have a four-year term, and then new grants would be allowed to come on. One of the reasons why the trustees have been interested in this is that the trust does not generate a large amount of income and actually does about pretty flat grant making on an annual basis, somewhere around $225,000 to $250,000 per year in grant making. Because of ongoing commitments to existing grants, we've been able to do no new grant making. In fact, for just about almost 2 years, we've not issued a new grant. And so what we had wanted to move towards and what the trustees wanted to move towards was a system where there would be a natural process for grantees when they apply to develop a self-sufficiency plan in their original application for how they plan on funding their programs after Children's Trust dollars are no longer available, for them to develop performance measures and for that to be part of the decision-making process as the trustees award the grants, and then to have a phase out of the grants over a four-year period. And that natural turnover would allow us to do new grant making on an annual basis to start developing new programs. So that was the goal of the CS, Senator Green, Mr. Chairman. And I think Margo McCabe is certainly available to answer all the questions about the trust and their overall goals.
I think I found the answer on page 2, line 16, 17, 18. And I guess my questions were more to can you promulgate a system by which you determine if someone is accomplishing their objectives? Is that something that you'll just do internally or via the trust and overseeing?
Responding to the chair, Senator Green, it is a goal of the department to have in all of its grants that we put forward performance measures that tie directly into the outcomes that we are moving towards as part of missions and measures. We have gone about a pretty aggressive effort across the department over the last couple of years of really moving towards having performance measures in all of our grants. In some cases, it's actually been moving away from grants towards performance contracts, where we actually have clear, measurable outcomes in which compensation is tied to the contractor delivering on those outcomes. How we will develop the performance measures, those will be developed through the Children's Trust with support from the Office of Children's Services. Much of the technical support to the Children's Trust is provided by the Office of Children's Services. So the trustees will develop the plan of what do you want to target, what do you want to go towards, what do you want to accomplish, and then the trust will receive assistance from the Office of Children's Services in developing performance measures to measure those outcomes. Those would be embedded in the RFPs that would go out, and then grantees, after they're awarded a grant, would report back through quarterly reports on their success in moving towards those performance measures. And then that is reviewed by the trustees as they make decisions on continuation of that grant funding.
I would like to say, Ms. Chairman, for the record, I can assure you from the Senate's perspective, when we worked on this X number of years ago, there was never any intention that it go over 4 years. I only wish we had known sooner that was a problem, because it was always intended just to have a four-year life and not just have the tail that goes on forever and ever. And I know that one of the things, and I just want to be sure that we don't get back into this, one of the things that was a concern at the time was multiple grants going to one named entity in different locations in the state. And that was just a blip in the history of it. And XYZ nonprofit in Kenai and Mat-Su and Juneau and Fairbanks were all getting a piece of money. And we did not think that was right, for because you could sort of subvert what's supposed to be wide grant giving if you gave it all to one entity in multiple locations. Do you think there's anything in this that allows that to happen?
Respond to the chair, Senator Green. I think
Margo is online,
yeah,
as well, when we want to get her to join on the conversation.
And I would encourage Margo to answer as many of these questions as the chairman would see fit, since she is the chair of the trust. I would say that, you know, it's always a concern as you go through the grant making process to make sure that you have a fair and competitive grant process, that you're awarding the grants towards the best organizations who can deliver the best results. I think by embedding in the RFP process requirements of having a sustainability plan, having clearly articulated performance measures, and having a fair grant making process where there's an actual measurable outcome that is guiding that grant award decision making, it removes from that grant award decision making all these extraneous non-relevant issues that sometimes go into the grant making process. Well, if you don't have an actual measurement that you're using to guide that decision making, what are you using as the basis for your grant making? And in many cases, it's simply who had the grant last year. Because you go with the existing entity versus a new entity, if you don't have a performance measure to say, why do I pick A over B, oftentimes what you'll see government do, not just our department, but government do, is revert to who's the existing player in the marketplace. And I think by having those performance measures, it sparks the competition that allows us to have better results from the grantees.
I appreciate that. But the same person that can write the excellent, best plan for their organization in Kenai can also do it for Fairbanks, Mat-Su, Juneau, and Ketchikan. And I just want to be assured that no one entity becomes a recipient of the preponderance of any 1 year's grant.
Respond to the chair, Senator Green. Answer your question directly. No, that will not happen. That's not our intention. We do have a list of all the grantees available. I think we've provided that to the committee. We do have a pretty broad selection of individual entities who receive those grants.
Margo, are you online?
Yes, I am, and if I may interject, I'm in agreement with Commissioner Gilbertson. That's certainly not our intent. Our vision is to continue funding community-based grants, a wide spectrum of them, and are just looking for the opportunity to receive more proposals. What Joel said is correct. Over the past 2 years, we haven't been able to even consider new grants. And by providing a four-year limit on grant awards, we would be able to consider new awards. And I believe the provision regarding sustainability will really help grantees from the beginning sort of set up their plans to continue. continue to be successful after our funding is gone. That's really why we're in support of the bill and what we're intending to do.
Yeah, thank you. And for the record, the entire committee is here, including Senator Wilken, Alton, Green, Olson, and myself. How much did you distribute in your last budget year total, Margo?
It was about $270,000.
And we are eliminating, if we pass this committee substitute, the $50,000 cap. Do you envision any practical working cap in the future?
I think we would, and I think that with the issuance of each new RFP, it would be set, depending on what the need was in that cycle.
I have in my packet here your booklet. Is the list of recipients that's in it exhaustive?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Are there any program philosophies or paradigms that you kind of look to when you're to guide you when you're considering your grantees?
You know, we evaluate each program on a case-by-case basis and looking at if it really does support our mission of helping prevent child abuse and neglect. The hope is through this year's RFP process and going forward, there's more availability of data regarding the communities in need, other program offerings in those communities, the type of program offering and how effective it's been in other parts of Alaska. All those things are considered.
How does a elementary school that I think has school funding, how do they get onto your list?
That's a good question, and it actually, all of these are continuing grants, so they've been receiving funding even before the current board members were in place. These are all recurring grants. Their program is a transitional preschool, but it initially started out as sort of a mentoring program for parents to see appropriate interaction with kids. And it seems to have evolved over time into more of a traditional preschool program and less about parent education. But I think that the reason it was funded initially and received recurring money is because it tended to have that component of parent education in more of a, in less of an in-classroom environment and more of an observation environment.
Okay. So do I kind of get the, is it fair to imply from your comments that probably elementary or kindergarten schools won't be major recipients for you in the future?
I think that's fair to say, unless they have a strong show that the program that they're implementing is aimed at preventing child abuse and neglect. I think that there are other programs that seem to meet that mission a little bit more clearly.
All right, my last question. It doesn't appear to me that anybody on your list is kind of in the faith-based category. Is that true, and does that reflect a policy?
I believe Covenant House would meet that sort of requirement, the faith-based requirement. And no, our policy is not to not consider those types of organizations. And in fact, we would welcome any new proposals from them.
Commissioner Gilbertson.
Mr. Chairman, I think just add a little more clarification to what the chair stated, chairman of the trust stated, is that there is no prohibition on funding faith-based organizations. Even when we've actually distributed funds for faith-based programs, we've had non-faith-based organizations even receive those funds. For example, when we did the Healthy Marriage Initiative, which sometimes has a faith-based connotation to it, one of our grantees was the Anchorage School District, who did a program with girls in the schools around healthy relationships. So I think there's no program that in our department that I would say is a program reserved for faith-based organizations, nor is there a program in our department or a grant in our department that's not available to faith-based organizations. Through the governor's faith-based initiative and the office that we've been trying to establish, what we're trying to have is a resource within state government that can help organizations, particularly faith-based organizations, who need technical assistance in how to apply for grants, technical assistance in how to build partnerships, technical assistance in how to be involved in these grant makings and understand where the resources are available. And so I think through that initiative, we'd like to be able to bring more faith-based entities into these programs, some of who are just not aware of them or some who don't know how to do grant making because it's not what they've been doing.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. I certainly agree that Covenant House was at its inception a vibrantly faith-based organization. I probably don't agree that it is now. Any question? Other questions from the committee? Senator Elton.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. It's been a couple of weeks, I think, since we last heard this. And I'm operating a little bit from memory here, but there had been discussion of a provision that would have raised the cap or that would have allowed, trying to think of a less pejorative word, kind of laundering through the trust. Was that in conjunction with this bill? No? Okay.
No.
My memory is faulty, Mr. Chair.
Actually, it was, Senator Elton, your memory is not. I think that they...
We talk about the cap being removed? Is that the question?
Allowing
no. It was allowing the trust to receive money from other firms or individuals, but the money didn't go into the endowment. The trust would determine the designees.
To pass through.
Oh, okay.
Let the trust be a pass through, and the laundering term was a pejorative one that I didn't mean seriously, but your memory is correct.
Maybe I'll answer that. Mr. Chairman, Senator Elton, there, with many organizations, and to some extent, you are speculating what is future philanthropic giving going to be in the future, and we're not sure. There has been in the past even one example is a federal appropriation to the Alaska Children's Trust that was an earmark to the Children's Trust. However, it was specified that the funds could not go into the principal, would have to go for grant making. Really, to some extent, when you actually get down to the mechanics of it, what it really was an appropriation to the department for the department to administer, with the Children's Trust trustees being sort of the guiding voice in how those dollars are spent. And that has happened in the past. I don't think it's something that's going to occur often in the future.
So nothing in the CS changes any of them?
No.
Correct. Any further discussion? It's the will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I would move CS for Senate Bill 150. Version F from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal.
Objection? Seeing none, the bill moves. We're adjourned.